Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8. Just look at a few verses here. I've titled this sermon, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. The theme being, I looked at that this week saying, no fear of death, kind of the theme. You know, but there is some fear and trepidation. There is some things that we are unsure of because we've never done it before. I mean, I can just imagine Lazarus coming out of that tomb and saying, you're kidding me right now, right? I got to do this again? I mean, come on now. Again? I went through that once. We can't talk to Lazarus about how that experience was. But we know the truth of God's word. And there is victory in Jesus. We just read that in Hebrews, where because we were subject to death, and death entered the world because of sin, just as God promised, and separation from God. And there is fear and doubt, and all of those things sometimes enters our mind. But we read John 11, 25 and 26, those two verses, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so our proposition statement, for me and for all of us, I think, is do I believe and do I live like I believe this? Do I live like I believe this? So I think there's three major points I want to make here. And we're going to do part of the first part and then the end. We'll start with the first part. There is no condemnation. And so let's read through. We're going to just read through the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8. And the first thing we'll talk about is no condemnation, and then we're going to talk about a restoration, and then we're going to go to the end of the book and talk a little bit about no separation. So, here's the truth from God's word to us tonight. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. In you. Father in heaven, we again thank you for this time together and for your word tonight. We just ask you to be with us and guide us as we study together and as we think about these things from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we begin, no condemnation. And it says right there in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation. That word condemnation means there is no charge brought against you. There is nothing left to charge against you, and there is no punishment for that charge. So there's no penalty to be paid, and the penalty has been paid, and there's no suffering, no consequences, no condemnation. The price has been paid, and there's no charge to be brought against you. So there's this no condemnation, justified. For the law has been fulfilled, and he's going to talk about that, for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law demanded a payment, and you and I can't make that. We'll get more into that in a little bit, For it says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death." The law is right and perfect and good, but the law has no might. Now, we think we have might, but we have no might, and we are, in our sinful condition, never in the right. We always seek the wrong thing, the wrong way to go. We go our own direction. But the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, who has set us free from the law of sin. So in Christ is both the right and the might, the power to forgive, to pay that penalty and to declare us justified. So the law is right, and the power that Jesus brings, fulfilling the law, is the might or the power that sets us free from sin's punishment, so there is no condemnation based on what Jesus did on the cross. No sentence pronounced or no execution of that sentence in judgment. I had a chance to counsel a little bit this week, and I reminded this person that in that no condemnation is full of both God's grace, His forgiveness, but most importantly, His love for you and me. He loves you very much. You know that. That's why He came and offered Himself for us. He loved us and gave Himself for us. Even while we were still sinners, Paul said earlier in Romans, even while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. He knows all that you did. He knows all that I've done. And despite that, He still came to bring us to Himself and to restore us. So there is no condemnation. If you have trusted Christ in your Savior, as your Savior, know this, your sins are forgiven. Not that we're perfect from now on, but God has declared you justified. So there is no condemnation. You have been forgiven. And I guess I could say what Jesus said to Mary and Martha, "Do you believe this?" Some people say they do, but then they go on living like they have to make up something that God didn't finish for them. Or they have to do some more to make sure they're okay. And they don't trust in just what God has said. There is no condemnation. There's no charge brought against you. There'll be no judgment against you for your sin. I am safe now and forever because God has called, He has credited, and He has completed my salvation. He has called, He has credited to me righteousness because I do believe these things, and He has completed that because there on the cross when He died, what did He say? He didn't say, "Will you guys finish this up later? If I do this much, if I go this far, will you guys finish it for me?" No, He said, "It is finished, complete." For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that set you free from the law of sin and death. The law is right, and Jesus is the might, the power that provided that forgiveness and that restoration of fellowship. And we're just going to go quickly through this next part a little bit and talk about a couple of points here. But it says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. You notice it says, He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh. And don't ever lose sight of the deity of Christ. He came, we read that in Hebrews, He came in a body like you and me. Why did He come in a body like you and me? You know why He came in a body like you and me? So that He would have human blood flowing through His veins. And He would live a sinless, perfect life. And that pure, righteous blood would be spilt for your sin and for mine. It was in the likeness of sinful flesh, but it wasn't sinful. He was like us in every way, yet without sin. And He offered Himself to restore us to a right relationship, to go back to the very beginning. God was going to give us a new body and a new place to live, and He was going to restore. There was a restoration, and there's still that restoration coming. So that the requirements, it says in verse 4, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. You notice it doesn't say fulfilled by us. It says fulfilled in us. It's like God pours that when we say, yes, I do believe this with all my heart, it's like God pours us full of righteousness that we need to get to heaven, that we'll never get ourselves in any amount of works or any amount of life. But God puts in us his own righteousness. We receive that by his grace and by his goodness. We, that the law would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How do you tell the difference between whether you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh or the Spirit? Well, I'll tell you how. Do you have a desire to pray? Do you have a desire to read God's Word and want to read God's Word and look forward to reading God's Word? Do you want to know more of who God is and what he would have you do? Then you are walking after the Spirit. If you're interested in your bank account, in the new car you could get, those are things of the flesh. Walking after the flesh and looking at things in a more temporal state of like, this is all there is, so I'm going to grab all the gusto I can get. That's what the world will tell you. I got to walk around a little bit yesterday with Helen after we ate some supper around the block uptown. There's a lot of fancy cars up there. And I had zero desire to get any of them. I'm not a car buff anyway, but I had zero desire to get any of those cars. If I'm going to invest my money, I'm going to invest it in better things than that, like either my grandkids or a missionary or the church or the kids that are in the room back here on Wednesday nights, whatever I can invest in those things. Those are things that are walking after the Spirit and not after the things of this world, not after the things of the flesh. For those who are walking according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the things that bring short-term pleasure or for now and they're gone and they have no substance or they aren't eternal. For those who are according to the Spirit, though, they walk after the eternal things, after the things of God. For the mind, it says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the flesh is death. And you know what that death is talking about? The mind set on the flesh has no hope. And that death it's talking about is not only physical death, but it's a separation, that second death, that separation from God. The mind set on the flesh will one day suffer judgment. There will be condemnation against those that walk after the flesh. And why is that so? Because we look down just a couple of verses. I'm going to jump ahead. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. That's number one. It's an enemy with God. Hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to God or humble itself before God. That mind set on the flesh is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And what that basically is saying, in our own efforts, there is human inability to save oneself. Because that mind set on the flesh is just following its own path down that broad street, going blindly that way. It's human inability to save oneself. But thank God that he came, for it says there in verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace with God. We have a friend, a family member who's just hanging on to life and won't let go. And I just wish that they could have some peace and grab a hold of the hope that lays here that God has before us. And say, this life, though it's 80, 90, or 100 years, what is that compared to eternity? And even if there's a little bit of suffering at the end of life, I think Paul said, I count the sufferings of this life to be light affliction compared with the weight of glory that lays before me. And I think Jesus would say to us tonight, of what we've read already, do you believe this? Do you believe what you're reading here? Do you believe that there's no condemnation? Do you believe that Jesus has not only the right, but the might to save you. Do you believe that as you live in the Spirit that's given inside you brings peace even in the face of death, even in as we face that final curtain, whatever you want to call it, as we face that, there is peace and hope. And I think there's a longing to leave this world and go to where God intended me to be with Him forever and ever. There's a restoration coming. Christ in the Spirit within us, it's not just a belief, it's not just a faith, it is those things, but it's a living and a deep informing presence. We live for then, now, and God is in us. It's a deep and informing presence that just testifies with our spirit that says, yeah, this is true, I do believe this. Those who are in the flesh are hostile toward God. Those who are in the flesh, they don't subject themselves to the Word of God. They aren't even able to do that, and they cannot please God, but not so us. However, you are not, in verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. I wrote in my Bible here, and I want you to hear this. God loves His children. And He has provided all that we need. And He tabernacles with us. He comes and indwells us. He doesn't come and go. He comes and lives in us. The Spirit, if He's indeed in you, then God dwells in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, He does not belong to God. But God loves His children. So if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. You know, the body can be weak and tired and on its last leg. But I want to tell you tonight that if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your spirit is healthy. And your spirit is alive within you. And the real you inside that broken shell is going to live forever. The Spirit of Him, Christ is in you. Though the body be dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And, you know, I want to turn back just real quickly here to 1 Corinthians 15 and read just a little bit of this. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll just start with verse 55, I think, here. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to verse 50. Paul writes this. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed or restored. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trump will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where's that victory? I'll tell you where that victory is. Victory's in Jesus. Because we are born dead in our sins and trespasses. Human inability is all over us, and we cannot save ourselves, but Christ came and offered Himself for your sins and for mine. And death was defeated, and sin and Satan was defeated. We read that in Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I don't know what your end and my end is going to be in this life. But But the last word death doesn't have for Christians. We will be made alive in Christ in heaven with him. We will be given a new body. We just read that. This mortal, this perishable must put on immortality, and this perishable must put on the imperishable. And one day, that restoration is coming. And I thought about that a lot this week with this situation with a family member. And one thing that I don't quite understand, Paul said, when I finish, I want to finish well. And I think that can mean still serving. I think that can mean laying on your deathbed with your family members around you, giving a testimony that there's victory in Jesus. And that testimony, even in that worst case scenario, that testimony can come forth. Victory in Jesus. This may look bad now, but it ain't so bad when I know Jesus as my Savior. God sent his Son in that nature like us, so that he could defeat death and give us hope, give us a future, an eternal home with him forever and ever. And then in verse 11 it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also, what does it say here? He'll also give life to your mortal bodies. Do you believe this? Through the Spirit who dwells in you. I put in my Bible right behind that verse, restored a new relationship, raised to a new life in Christ. And the good news is there's no condemnation. There'll be a restoration, a rejoining. And the great news here at the end, there's no separation. The last word is not with sin and death for us. And it says here at the end of our chapter, verse 38 and beyond. Well, let's just go back, here just a little bit. There's all kinds of problems. He talks about them. We're not going to read all that. There's all kinds of problems, all kinds of things that can happen that come up in life. And he says, who will separate us in verse 35? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer ourselves? No, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The body dies, but the Spirit lives on. Where the Spirit of God is, and the Spirit lives in you, there is life. And life eternal. And there's hope. And there's a future, and there's an eternity that lays before us that will never end. That will never end. We were teaching the little ones in junior church today about God's eternality. He has no beginning. He has no end. And I thought we'd just finish tonight. I liked it so much. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says that he is, he was, and he's going to come again forevermore. And we look forward to that. There is hope in us. There is victory in Jesus. These promises are assurance for us. No condemnation, a restoration, no separation. And I would simply leave you with, ponder these things. And do you believe them? And live like you believe them. I hope we do, and I hope that we continue to do that. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. As always, we relish it. We long to spend time in it together. Lord, thank you for the hope we have in Christ. I'm reminded tonight that Jesus one day turned to the disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave too?" Good answer, Peter. Where else would we go? You have the words of life. Where else would we go? There's nowhere else. We've trusted in you. In the hard times and the good times, we just read it. What can separate us from your love for us and the promises and the hope that you give to us through your word? Nothing. Lord, if we struggle with this, help our unbelief. Help us to look to your word and simply trust that you love us, that you would not lie to us, that we trust you completely because you have come, offered yourself for us. And Lord, you faithfully, without fail, give us the mercy and grace to get through the days that are ahead of us and behind us, whatever it could be. There's nothing beyond your power. There's nothing that will snatch the victory in Jesus from us. So we trust you. We love you. We just want to be assured tonight from your word of all of these things once again. And Lord, we just go forward. Whatever the days are ahead, there are better days beyond this life that will never end. And our hope is sure and fixed because it's fixed on the God of creation that loves us and gave himself for us and placed his spirit within us. And we testify with that spirit that we are children of God. Father, help us to live that way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.